CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
The Journal of Education said, "The world is not interested in the storms you encountered, but whether you brought in the ship." Welcome, Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who have brought in the ship. Our first Playmakers company began in a one-room office in Snyder Plaza and now has nearly 600 employees and 16 offices in Texas. Well, our next Playmakers organization has over 27,000 members in the state. With us today is a president whose company was named a top place to work in Dallas by the Dallas Morning News and in Austin by the Austin American Statesman. Well, our next CEO's organization is high in the list of trusted professionals. These great playmakers are Patrick Coons. Patrick is president of Half Associates, and John Sharbaugh. John is CEO and executive director of the Texas Society of CPAs, and we're going to begin today's show with John. John Sharbaugh, as I mentioned, the CEO and executive director of the Texas Society of CPAs, and began his leadership of TSCPA in March of 2000. Now, the Texas Society of Certified Public Accountants is a nonprofit, voluntary professional organization representing Texas CPAs. Before joining TSCPA, John was vice president of state societies and regulatory affairs with the American Institute of CPAs in Washington, D.C. for 12 years. He also served as executive director of the North Carolina Association of CPAs and deputy executive director for the Florida Institute of CPAs. John is also past president of the CPA Society Executives Association. He is past chairman of the Texas Society of Association Executives and is a former member of the board of directors of the American Society of Association Executives. Well, John, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Glad to have you. You received your BA at Penn State in Foreign Service and International Politics, a little different from what you do now. Did that prepare you to lead CPA organizations?
Well, at the time, I probably wasn't thinking about being an association executive, but in hindsight, I think it did prepare me. Obviously, it was a liberal arts degree program, and I had aspirations to go into the Foreign Service, and that didn't pan out. I got
in what way? What kind of position?
Just to get into the Foreign Service at any level. That was sort of an idea I had as a young person. When it became apparent that wasn't going to happen, I went back and also got a master's in business administration, MBA degree at the University of Florida. And I think the combination of those two degrees actually ended up being very beneficial in what I ended up doing for my career, which is association management, because you're working with people. You have to understand how the political process works, because a lot of what you do revolves around advocacy. But you also have to understand how to run a business and those types of things. So I think the combination of liberal arts and business was a very good track that prepared me for what I ended up doing.
Well, you had most of your positions that I read just a moment ago in your bio on the East Coast. How did you get to Texas?
Well, it just an opportunity came along. I was grew up in Pennsylvania and then moved to Florida to get an MBA degree. Ended up going to work with an association there, which was my entree into working for associations and working for CPAs. And then my career just sort of had a progression where opportunities came up. I wasn't really looking any of the times the opportunities came, but when they came, I evaluated them and decided to pursue them. So the opportunity in Texas came up. They were looking for a new CEO. The CEO that was on board was retiring, and so I talked to them, and I said, well, I'm not really looking for a job, and they said, well, we think you ought to, like, consider it, and I did, and finally decided to take the opportunity and move to Texas and haven't looked back since. It's been a great period for me and my wife.
Yeah. After 16 and a half years, my guess is you probably enjoy being here.
Yeah, we love Texas. It sort of grows on you if you're not a native Texan, but the people here are just so friendly and welcoming. And one of the things we liked about it is they accept you pretty quickly for who you are. They don't really care where you came from. It's just like, what are you doing now? So that's one of the neat things about Texas. It's the very progressive, energizing kind of state, and it's grown tremendously during the 16 years we've lived here.
I've lived here longer. You almost feel like you've grown up with all the changes. Well, you've worked for associations your entire career, specifically Association of the CPA Profession. Many people don't even know what associations are or what they do. So why are you drawn to this career path?
Well, I happened into it. I was finishing up my degree at the University of Florida, and the director called me one day saying, hey, would you be interested in a job opportunity here in Gainesville? And I'm like, Gainesville is a college town. So I'm like, what are we talking about? And he said, Florida Institute of CPAs. I'm like, well, what is that? And he goes, well, why don't you go talk to them and find out? And so we liked Gainesville and decided to take that opportunity. And that was my entree into what associations were all about. And they're sort of a vital part of our society. There's associations for everything. We were joking about that before the interview, that you can find an association for just about any group or cause, and they sort of are embedded in the DNA of our country. If you go back to the 1800s when de Tocqueville came to America and wrote his classic book about America, one of the things he talked about was how Americans associate and form groups, which was not historically what was going on in Europe at that time. So they really have been an important part of our country in terms of representation, people pulling together, working with each other for whatever their particular group or cause is. And so I found it energizing once I understood what they were all about, and have enjoyed my career immensely.
And to a large degree, associations tend to police themselves, too, as they don't overseen by government as much.
Yeah, exactly. It's the idea that people can come together and improve their industry or their profession. They can do good things for society at large. I mean, that's basically what they're all about. And a lot of associations create their own certification or education programs to advance whatever the group or the industry is.
Let's talk specifically about the Texas Society of CPAs. What do you do, and what do you provide for CPAs?
Well, what we do is provide a professional affiliation so that CPA make it easy for CPAs to come together and interact with each other and share and learn from each other. We also provide an adherence to standards. If you join our organization, you're expected to perform in a particular way. So if you fail to meet that standard, we have an ethics code that we expect you to adhere to. We do a lot of continuing education for CPAs to help them advance in their profession and continue to learn and grow, which they have to do in order to maintain their license. And then we advocate for them and for the people they work for. So we get immersed in issues that can affect CPAs, but we also are interested in issues that affect the people they work for, their clients, the businesses they work for, so tax issues and other kinds of issues that can have an effect, and try to bring the knowledge and expertise that CPAs have to that process.
Well, I've worked with a lot of CPAs, and I've also worked with a lot of colleagues that work with CPAs, providing them products. And I've been told by both CPAs and these people that people will tend to open up and tell some of the biggest secrets they have in their life to a CPA. So why are CPAs so high on the list of trusted professionals?
Well, I think it's because they've earned that reputation. CPAs, and I hear the same thing from our members, that their clients will tell them things, and in some cases they'll say, like, I was the first person they told they were going to get divorced, or whatever the issue was that was going on in their life. And that's because they can trust CPAs. I mean, CPAs, their whole aura is based on integrity, confidentiality, independence, objectivity, these core parts of the code of conduct that CPAs are expected to follow. So the client knows, if I tell the CPA this, it's not going anywhere else, and I can get their advice to help me manage my business or my life without fear that it's going to go anywhere else, and I can have confidence that the advice they're giving me is credible, it's objective, it's not trying to sell me something, it's trying to really give me the advice I need to make the right decision.
And many times, even if a CPA has products they can sell, many times their clients will readily accept those because they know the CPA is doing it for their best interest. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, they're expected to be objective in the advice they give. So if they're going to do that, and that's a limited number of our members, generally they're doing that through a separate business that they might have set up. So the typical example would be giving financial advice. But most CPAs aren't going to end up recommending specific investment products. They're going to give them general advice and try to guide them in the right direction and then hook them up with a stockbroker or someone who's going to actually like sell them the specific investments. But if they do, I mean, they're required to disclose to clients that they're earning something, a commission or whatever, off those products. So it's all above board. But I would say the vast majority of CPAs do a fee-based kind of service where they give professional advice and then they send the client to somebody else to actually make the sale.
I have all the professionals in my life I've met as a result of referrals. A doctor will refer another doctor to me. My current doctor referred a dentist to me. The CPA I have was referred by another professional. Should somebody need a CPA and doesn't know where to turn, where should they go?
Well, they could turn to us. I mean, we can give them information about CPAs in their area, a number of our chapters. We have 20 chapters around the state. They have referral services is what they call it, where they can refer CPAs. But I would say the most critical thing is talk to friends and other people you know, because undoubtedly they're going to know a CPA in that community that they could refer the person to. And it depends what they're looking for advice on. I mean, CPAs have very broad knowledge of a lot of things, but if they have a highly specialized kind of need, then they are going to want to find a CPA that has greater expertise or works in that particular niche. But generally speaking, if it's coming to the broad kinds of things most members of the public are looking for, accounting, tax, things like that, most CPAs are going to be able to handle that for them.
As a CEO for an association, are there any challenges that CPAs are up against now in the 21st century?
Well, I guess it's a problem, but it's also a blessing. I mean, CPAs are doing great right now in terms of the opportunities. So the problem we face now is the aging of the profession along with the aging of society. I mean, a large percentage of our members and CPAs are in the baby boom generation, and they're starting to age out, and we don't have the people to replace all of them. It's something we've been working on, but it's a numbers game because that's the shape of society at large. So firms are challenged to find all the employees they need. If you're coming out of college now with a degree in accounting, your job opportunities are tremendous because there's a lot of demand for people with that kind of background. So that's one of the big issues they're facing, along with firms dealing with partners who are retiring out of the practices, and how are they going to replace them and the knowledge that they have.
Well, tell everybody where they can find out more about the Texas Society of CPAs.
Well, you can come to our website, www.tscpa.org, and we have information there for the general public as well as information there for our members.
Well, John, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It's been a pleasure, Steve. Thanks.
You are definitely a playmaker. We just spoke with John Sharbaugh. John is the CEO and Executive Director of the Texas Society of CPAs. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak with the President of Half Associates. His name is Patrick Coons. Back with Pat right after this.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat, donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This Half of the show, we're going to talk about architecture and engineering. We're going to speak with Patrick Coons. Pat is president of Half Associates, a full-service engineering and architecture firm founded in Dallas in 1950. Now, under Pat's leadership, the firm has grown to nearly 600 employees across 16 offices in Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana. Less than 2 years after graduating from Texas A&M University with a civil engineering degree, Pat started his lifelong career at Half. Shortly thereafter, he became a professional engineer and started his progression as a leader by becoming a project manager, team leader, vice president, chief operation officer, and ultimately president. Now, the award-winning firm was most recently recognized as a Dallas Business Journal Middle Market 50 company. And in 2015, was named a top place to work in Dallas by the Dallas Morning News and in Austin by the Austin American-Statesman. Well, Pat, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, on December 4th, 1950, Dr. Half founded Albert H. Half Consulting Sanitary Engineers in a one-room office at Snyder Plaza near SMU in Dallas. Now, how has Half Associates grown from that inauspicious beginning?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'd forgotten that he was originally Albert H. Half Associates Sanitary Engineering. Well, the first thing I would say is Dr. Half, and we call him Dr. Half because he got his bachelor's degree from SMU and went on to get a master's degree from University of Illinois and ultimately his PhD doctorate degree from Johns Hopkins, and thus we called him Dr. Half. But, you know, he started the firm as sanitary engineering. It didn't take long for him to realize there wasn't a lot of work in sanitary engineering.
Well, what is sanitary engineering?
Sanitary engineering would basically be wastewater treatment. Generally, today it's a lot of what you would call environmental engineering. I mean, he really was ahead of his time in that at that time, environmental engineering, there wasn't much of it. You know, civil engineers were all about development and building things and not as much about sustainable design and green design and those kinds of things. So soon he found out there's not much of that. But there's a whole lot of land development in Dallas. So he really started doing a lot of land development work, and that's really how he was able to grow the business. We went from that, as I understand it, we went from that small office in Snyder Plaza, had an office on Lemon Avenue. We outgrew that, and when I first started in 1981, actually started in that building. We moved there to our buildings that we had for well over 20 years at Hillcrest and Northwest Highway. Over time, we outgrew those buildings, and now we office in our current office in Richardson at Arapaho, just east of Central Expressway. When I first came to work at Half in 81, there were about 40 to 50 people. So I've really seen the firm grow, as you said, now with 16 offices, 14 in Texas, one in Oklahoma and at Oklahoma City, and one in Shreveport, with 600 people. So it's been incredibly exciting to be a part and see a company grow from really a small business to a nice mid-sized firm today.
Well, from 1981 till today, moving from 40 to 50 to 600 is quite a large leap in terms of what you've done. But what does Half Associates do?
Well, you know, we do design, and what does that mean? If you have an idea for a building or a project that you want to implement, we take that idea, develop it from concept to development of plans, and what I mean by producing construction plans that a contractor will then use to build it. And I think the better way to really describe what we do is maybe talk about some of the projects around Dallas that people would be familiar with. For instance, like American Airlines Center. We provided all the civil engineering services for that, which means the roads and the streets that you drive on to get there, we designed those. We were involved in the infrastructure, the water, and the sewer facilities that serve that facility. Many of you listeners may remember that was an old Dallas Power and Light power plant. Well, that had to be cleaned up and environmentally dealt with. We provided the environmental services to deal with that. Another project that's an interesting one that I know well, I live in the Lake Highlands area, and I use the White Rock Trail. You know, it was probably the first trail project in Dallas, and if you go on it on a weekend today, it's incredible how that trail is being used. People don't know that. A lot of people don't know that, but below that trail is an 84-inch water line. yeah, that's 7 foot diameter water line. And we had the job at that time to design that water line. And you can imagine building a facility of that magnitude through the White Rock Creek floodplain. It was it was working with the Dallas Water Utilities and the Park Department to come up with a way to mitigate and make it something a little better and more special. And that's what resulted in the White Rock Trail, which is another, you know, project that we designed. We do lots of transportation projects. The freeways around here, we've had a hand or worked with a lot of them. Central Expressway, LBJ, I came out 183 here. Significant work on 183.
Which means you've had a lot of work recently.
We have had a lot of work recently. Times are good for our industry. So that probably best describes kind of what we do.
Going back to White Rock Lake, thousands of people use that on a regular basis, if not just on the weekends. And people probably don't realize someone had to design that and take care of it so it would be sustainable.
Right. So those are the things we do. And you know, it's, I go back to that, just make the point again. I go back to what Dr. Half was really all about. He was a sanitary engineer. Today you would consider that probably environmental engineering, what you would call that. And I have to say, he was really ahead of his time. He hired an environmental scientist back in about the mid to late 70s, right before I actually came to work there. And having an environmental scientist think about the environment working for a civil engineering firm in the mid to late 70s was just unheard of. And so, you know, today everything's about sustainability and green design, but the reality is that's something Half has been involved in for a long time. You know, one of my first projects, when I first came to work at Half, we did a project on the Elm Fork of the Trinity River, which is between LBJ and Beltline Road up in the Carrollton area. And if any of you are familiar with that, now it's still a very wooded reach of the river. When I first came to Half, the water surface elevations in the river had reached a level where there was a potential for levees to be overtopped. A lot of the land on either side are protected from flooding by levees. There was a plan to channelize that river, which had that happened, it would look just like the Dallas floodway does today. Dr. Half and others at Half developed a plan to don't channelize the river, do some work to get rid of some of the underbrush, eliminate that, but preserve the natural environment of the river. And we were able to accomplish that. That's just a good example of the vision that he had of that civil engineers need to do more than just put pavement on the ground, but maybe we should think a little bit more about how society is affected.
So what you're telling me is the root of what he was doing, sanitary engineering, environmental engineering, is still a piece of what you're doing, a root of Half Associates.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it's become a significant part of what we're doing as more and more as society is understanding the impacts of what development and growth really has. And so it's a key part of almost everything we do now.
Well, this may answer my own question, but I saw on your website, which is halff.com, that your culture is people, autonomy, teamwork, integrity, and quality. What makes Half Associates unique?
Well, you know, we talk a whole lot about culture these days in our firm, and you read the things from our strategic plan, and I will say to you that a lot of firms have a lot of those same words. I'll tell you that really is what Half is all about, and I can't help but go back to the history of our founder, because Dr. Half really was about developing people. It's what drove him. He created an environment to help people and to develop people. That culture has continued throughout the years, and if you look at the leadership of the firm, that's what we're really all about. And it's no kidding. It's not just a word we put on a piece of paper or a cool-looking graphic that we plaster around the walls. It's what we live every day. I mean, we have a philosophy that we're about building and providing people's careers. And the reality is, if we do that and if we do that well, all the profit stuff, all the growth in the business stuff, it's going to take care of itself. Because if people are empowered to do the things they want to do, and they do something to come to the to work every day other than just collect a paycheck, the rest will take care of itself. So that really is what we really are all about as a firm. The other part of that is, if you empower people and they're able to do the things they want to do, The growth will take care of itself. They'll provide exceptional service to their clients, and I think you'll find that that's one of the things that HAF is known for: exceptional service, great quality, and the other thing is we're there for the long haul. If you go to and talk to the people at HAF, what you're going to find is, you know, I've been at HAF for 35 years. That's almost the norm at HAF. You know, no, not everybody's been at HAF for 35 years, but a lot of the leaders and the younger leaders of HAF, they've been at HAF their whole careers. There's very little turnover in the upper level people once they've been at HAF for a number of years. So I think that really sets us apart.
Well, that obviously is what it's all about. If you haven't had the turnover, there's something going on correctly at HAF Associates. And if you've had repeat business from your clients, you've done something right. And it's all about the people. So any specific current challenges now in the architectural engineering business that you're looking at in the 21st century?
Well, as you know, previously was talked about a little bit, as you know, one of the challenges is the ability to get good talent. I mean, the times are good right now. The market is growing. We're fortunate to be where we are in Texas. In our industry, there's tremendous amount of growth. The challenge is to find those people. And I think that challenge is going to continue in years to come. So from our profession as a whole, we need to continue to work to grow and get the younger people excited about the math and sciences. The reality is, I think the accounting field faces the same thing. So there's a challenge in our industry to get people excited and get into and enter the engineering field. There's a challenge there, I would say, is a big one. You know, other challenges that face our industry today is water. You know, we all heard a whole lot about that a few years ago when the drought was there. Unfortunately, when the drought goes away, people tend to forget about the drought, and there will be another one. And as Texas continues to grow, the need for reservoirs and water is going to continue.
You mentioned also the people, first thing you mentioned, and I'm looking at your website now, and it also says join our team. So should somebody want to do that, how do they find your website?
Okay, our website, www.haf.com. There's a people side of that. Go to that. We encourage you to read a little bit about us, fill out the application. There's also contact information there. Please call, and we'd love to talk to you.
Well, Pat, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Pat Coons is the president of HAF Associates. This has been a great show. We just had Patrick Coons, again, president of HAF Associates, and we had John Sharbaugh, CEO and executive director of the Texas Society of CPAs, as our first guest, both Playmakers. It's been a great having both of you on our show. Thank you very much also for listening and joining us. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.